Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is great time to study the Word of God. And we were worshiping Christ, who He is, what He has done in our lives. We know that we are going through the Paul's letter to Colossians. We know that the theme of this epistle is Christ is supreme. Therefore, He is sufficient for us. He is sufficient for salvation. He is sufficient for sanctification. We have learned that this doctrine of the supremacy of Christ, the sufficiency of Christ, in two chapters. Now we are in chapter 3. Please turn with me, Colossians chapter 3. Today we are going to look at verse 1 to 4 of chapter 3. If you look at chapter 3 and chapter 4 of verse 1, it is describing about the sufficiency of Christ in our practical life. It is talking about our duties. If you understand what Christ has done for you, if you understand who is Christ, if you understand the supremacy of Christ, then you have responsibility to live according to supremacy of Christ, sufficiency of Christ. We know that Paul always does like that. When he writes epistles, he exhorts, he explains the doctrine, who God is, who Christ is. Then after some time, he explains our responsibilities, our duties. Paul is doing same thing in Colossians, verse 3 onwards. Brothers and sisters, we have our responsibilities. We say that, right? We know Christ. We came to know that He is supreme. He is sufficient. But if you understand that truth, you need to live out that truth. That is the lesson we are going to see in next days, coming days, through this series. So today we are going to look at chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Please follow with me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. What a wonderful passage, right? You heard many times preaching on this passage. But it is most important passage before we move on. Why I'm saying, it says, therefore, again, Paul is telling the practical life. Therefore, you came to know that Christ is supreme. You came to know that you have salvation because of Christ, not because of all your religious works, not because of your self-righteousness, not because of following festivals. Christ is sufficient to provide salvation. If you understand who Christ is, therefore, you need to do something. That is, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is. Then he said, verse 2, set your mind on the things above. So I have given title of this section is Pursuing Heavenly Things as Resurrected Saints. Look at, it says, verse 1, if you have been raised with Christ, he is not making doubt, he is saying reality, he is saying fact, that is, you have been raised with Christ. That is fact. If that is true, seek the heavenly things. Seek the things above. Set your mind things on the above. Even look at chapter 2, verse 12. It says, chapter 2, verse 12. It says that, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith, in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Paul is saying again, he is mentioning same truth that you have been raised with him. If you have new life, if you have resurrected life, please pursue heavenly things. So that is the command he is giving. We know that. You know, all of us know as Indians, P.V. Sindhu, who is a badminton, who plays shuttle, to win championship, she was giving interview that how much hard work she is doing to achieve that goal. So to achieve that goal, to get medal in Olympics is not easy. She has to work hard. She used to wake up like early morning, 3 o'clock or 3:30, 4 o'clock. She has to go there. She has to listen the instructions of coach. Everything, she has to work hard to achieve that goal. Why I'm saying that? To achieve earthly things, the people has to put so much hard work. But here Paul is saying, as a Christian, if you understand who Christ is, if you understand his sufficiency, you need to work hard to pursue heavenly things. That is, pursuing Jesus Christ. You need to look above. You need to work hard. So that's what Paul is saying. We need to pursue. We need to work hard to seek heavenly things. Here I have two things that we must know to pursue heavenly things. The first thing that you must know to pursue heavenly things is the compulsion to pursue heavenly things. The compulsion. Look at verse 1 and 2. Paul says, keep seeking the things above. Set your mind on the things. He is commanding. Keep seeking the things above. Set your mind on the things. Both are commandments. All Christians are obligated to pursue the heavenly things. It is compulsion. You need to do that. You need to pursue that. That's what Paul is saying. If you understand, it is important. It is commanded. Then we can pursue that one. If someone is saying it is not important, you no need to follow that. No one will follow that instruction. If you say that you should follow that instruction, then everyone will follow that instruction. That's what Paul is saying. The first thing we must know, the compulsion to pursue heavenly things. Two ways to pursue heavenly things. First way is striving after heavenly things. Pursuing heavenly things means striving after heavenly things. Look at verse 1. It says, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The meaning of the verb seek in Greek is seek after, seek for, aim at. You can say that strive after. It has the idea of devoting serious effort to gain, to obtain it. It has serious effect. You need to put your effort to gain it. That is the idea. Let me ask you, if you lost something that you loved so much, you will seek after it. You will search for it. You strive after that. Example, house document you lost. How you will seek that one? Will you seek that one casually? Okay, let me tell you. What about your mobile phone? If you ask your mobile phone, where is my mobile phone? Just you run after it. You will seek. You give your effort, right? What about house key? What about your vehicle's key, right? You will search for it. If someone calls you that time when you are searching house document, hello, I want to talk with you, what you will say? Wait. I have some work. I need to do that one. I have no time to talk with you. So it is talking about the effort you need to do that. You need to seek. You need to aim at that one. That's what Paul is saying here. You search with intention, not casually. If you want to seek, something is important. The Paul is using same idea here, brothers and sisters. The Christians have to seek after, aim at, strive after the things above. The heavenly things. As I said before, this is a command, not a request. Not a request. The idea is, make this your habit. Train yourself in this. That is the idea. Always you are training yourself to seek above things. You are training yourself. This is your habit. You wake early morning. You do brushing and you eat breakfast. You do all your works habitually, right? How you are doing those things, in the same way, you need to do, you need to seek heavenly things. You need to strive after heavenly things. That's what Paul is saying. That's what Paul is saying. It is your life habitual thing. It is your life. You need to seek that. Brothers and sisters, this does not occur naturally. You need to work on that. That is why it is translated like this. Keep seeking the things above. Keep seeking the things above. What does it mean to seek the things above? The Greek word above refers to heavenly world. That is talking about heaven. Seeking the things above refers also to ethical significance. But the key idea is their aims, their ambition should be directed to that place. What is your aim? What is your ambition? What is your goal? Everything has to direct it to heaven. That is the idea. Seeking heavenly things. Christians should seek essential, excellent, the things that belongs to heavenly citizens. That is the idea. They should live a life that reflects heaven. If you are walking on the road, people can see the heaven flavor. That's what it is saying. You need to seek heavenly things. It means seeking after the knowledge about Christ, the holiness, seeking the interest of Christ and himself. Two truths about Christ that motivate us to strive after heavenly things. The first truth or fact about Christ that motivate us to strive after heavenly things is Christ exists in heaven. Christ dwells in heaven. Look at verse 1. Keep seeking the things above. Then he says, where Christ is. Where Christ is. The reason for seeking heavenly things is Christ exists. Christ dwells in heaven. Our focus on heavenly things, brothers and sisters, is not based on heaven, that place. It is based on the one who lives there. The one who lives there. Peter O'Brien, he wrote like this in his commentary. He said, Paul is not interested in some geography. He is not encouraging us to seek the things above for their own sake. The significance of this, that place, is closely related to the sphere of resurrection existence. Is that exalted Christ is at its center. Christ is in heaven. That's why we need to seek heavenly things. Our focus is Christ who lives there. Paul used these words because people were seeking earthly things. If you read epistle to Colossians, they were seeking, Paul's teachers are seeking sins and angels. They are seeking human traditions, all kinds of visions and mystical practices that are not from above. They are seeking after those things. So here Paul is saying, don't seek those things. Strive after things of heaven, heavenly things. I want to remind another fact about Christ exists in heaven. That is, he is alive. He is alive. There is that idea. Great idea is there. So many people like Jesus as a good man. And they say about him like, he forgave those who are beating him. What a great man he is. So we can worship him in that area. Then people say about him like this. He taught a life-changing sermons when he was living on the earth. We know Mahatma Gandhi quoted Jesus' words. Right? You know that verse also. Someone is slapping on your face one side. You turn on the another side. So people are quoting Jesus' words. People are believing him. One sense, he is a God, one of God. But one thing they are not focusing on. The one great truth that they are not focusing on. That is, he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. He is living in heaven. He is living in heaven. That is the truth they should believe to be saved. He is alive. He came to earth. He died on the cross. and he was buried, and he rose up, he ascended to heaven, he lives there. He was not a dead man, brothers and sisters. He is alive.
Amen.
He is alive. He exists after his death and burial, right? Did you see? The only one tomb is empty on the earth after burial, that is Christ. He exists in heaven. If you understand who Christ is, if he is living being, one who died for you, if he is in the heaven, you need to seek him. You need to seek after the things that are centered on Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, strive after. Aim. Think like a heavenly citizen. Walk like heavenly citizen. Speak like heavenly citizen. Run after the things that pleases Christ. You need to look upward because Christ dwells there. That is the idea. You need to act as a citizen of heaven on the earth. The second truth about Christ that motivates us to strive after heavenly things is Christ is highly exalted. Christ is highly exalted in heaven. It says like this, verse 1. But we keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Right hand of God. Seated at the right hand of God is a reference to Psalm 110, verse 1. A psalm of David, he says like this. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Here seated refers to a state, a condition, a position. It refers to the state and position of Christ. So idea is Christ is exalted one because he's seated at the right hand of God. We are going to see what does it mean, sitting at the right hand of God. Paul says that Christ exists in heaven and also says, how does Christ exist in heaven? That is the idea. He's seated at the right hand of God. The Greek idea is the manner of Christ dwelling in heaven. How he is dwelling, how he lives in heaven is he is highly exalted. He is dwelling, how? By sitting at the right hand of God. Christ exists in heaven by being seated at the right hand of God, brothers and sisters. This is not talking about casual sitting, but his exalted position. He acts as one who exalted. Even though God said to him to sit at his right hand. But the fact is this. He deserved that position. The idea is not that God sharing some place in his throne. But Christ has same exalted position with God the Father. He is not giving like come sit. He is giving some space. It is not talking like that. Christ has same exalted position with God the Father. Christ is living in heaven as exalted one. All can see his attitude as exalted one. This is not talking about namke vaste, namesake position. It is talking about the real position. He is exalted one. The Greek idea is talking about the attitude of one who is seated at the right hand of God. He has some attitude who is sitting as at the right hand of God. Some positions are only for the sake of honor. They don't have real authority and power. Sometimes we heard it is not good who is head of that house, that lady only. He is not doing anything, just he has that honor and that power. But everything that lady is doing. So sometimes in villages, the wife will become president of that village, but husband will do all those things. If anybody wants some work with that president, that person does not go to president, but go to husband. So, namke vaste positions. It is not talking about namke vaste positions. It is not namesake's position. It is talking about Christ is exercising his high honor. He is exercising his position. He is doing something. He is doing something. It is not talking about just sitting and see how much I have done. See my honor. See my honor. He is not doing. That is not talking about here. It is talking about he is exercising his authority. And also it says that this refers that Christ is highly exalted, one, an ongoing state. Ongoing state. The seated, if you see, it looks like past tense. But if you see original language, it is present tense. He is exalted one forever and ever. Forever and ever. Look at the phrase, the seated at the right hand of God. Paul and other writers use figurative language to speak of Christ's exaltation. We should not take this phrase as literal. God is spirit, right? He does not have body like hands and legs. He does not have. Even we know that Bible meaning of this phrase at the right hand of God is a position, a symbol of honor, a symbol of exaltation. We can see same idea, Philippians chapter 2 verse 9. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. That's what we were singing, right? He has name above all names. He is exalted one. This heaven is centered around Christ, who is highly exalted, honored position he has, along with God the Father. Okay, let me ask you, why did Paul talk about exaltation, the power of Christ, sovereignty of Christ, kingship of Christ here? The context was that he wanted to nullify all principalities and all authorities. He wants to shame all those people who are running after false teachers, who are worshipping angels, seeking visions, legalistic things, and they were dishonoring the one who exalted above, who is the most high God. They are not looking at him, they are looking at things on the earth. How foolish are those who run after angels and visions and their self-achievements and works if they neglect the one who exalted above all, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Most High God. The Paul is encouraging Christians, you Colossians, you look at Christ who is exalted above. Don't look at false teachers, their theories. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your works. Look at Christ who is seated on the throne, the King. That's what he is motivating. That's what he is encouraging them. Even Hebrews chapter 1 verse 13 says, but to which of the angels has he said ever, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? God did not, never said to anybody else, but he said only to Christ to sit at his right hand. Because he deserved it. He deserved it. He has authority to sit equally with God the Father. Brothers and sisters, false teachers are running after those earthly things. But you look above, see his position and imitate him. Paul is motivating them before they can ask them to obey. Did you see how Paul is building his motivation? From verse 5 onwards, we are going to see our responsibilities, our duties. Before he talks about our duties, our responsibilities, our sanctification, our working on sanctification, but Paul is motivating us. How one can love his wife when he sees Christ is sitting at the right hand of God? How wife can submit to husband when that lady, that sister sees Christ is exalted above? He is motivating. Look at Christ. He is the Lord. He is the King. He is your master. He is ruling. He is exercising his authority as a God. If you understand who he is, then our life will be changing. That's why he is putting these things before he talks about dead. He says, verse 5, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. Then he talks about put on Christ-likeness. Then he talks about what to do, husband relationship with his wife and loving husband and submitting wife, then he talks about relationship between master and slaves. These things will happen if people are seeing exalted Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why he's talking before. The second way to pursue the heavenly things is thinking about the heavenly things. Not striving after heavenly things, but thinking about heavenly things. Look at verse 2. It says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. The meaning of the word set your mind is to direct one's mind to something. To give careful consideration to something. The idea is Colossians should continually consider carefully about heavenly things. They should direct their mind to heavenly things. An ongoing state. Again, it is present tense. Paul is talking ongoing way. It is your habit always thinking about heavenly things. Heavenly things. They need to use their brain to think about only heavenly things where Christ dwells as highly exalted one. And also he says they must be heavenly minded, not earthly minded. That's what he said. Paul said that they should not set their mind on the earthly things. Because the earthly things, setting mind on the earthly things, was the characteristics of false teachers and unbelievers. If you think about the meaning of earthly things, to understand this word, look at verse 5. It says, consider the member of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity. Earthly things are sinful things. Paul says that you should not set your mind on sinful things, but set your mind on heavenly things that are holy and good. Another reference that I want to show you, that Philippians chapter 3 verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. The earthly things are not only sinful things, and also refers to festivals, ceremonies, sacrifices, all kinds of work-based justification. I am doing these things so that I can be saved. If I won't do these things, I won't be saved. They are not focusing on Christ. Even this is true, right, in Colossian church, where false teachers were commanding them, encouraging them to practice their worldly philosophy, which is according to human tradition, which is according to principalities. They were worshipping angels, celebrating new moon festivals, Sabbath. If you are not celebrating Sabbath, you are not a Christian. Please celebrate Sabbath. We need to go back all those festivals. They are rejecting Christ. They are rejecting Christ. They were seeking and setting their minds on the earthly things, not heavenly things. Ultimately, not on Christ. They are not seeking Christ, who lives forever as exalted King of heaven. The conclusion is this, brothers. Earthly things are sinful things of the world, and different religion practices for salvation, for sanctification, without Christ. If you are doing these things, you are seeking earthly things. You are not seeking heavenly things. What is your mind focused on, brothers and sisters? On Christ or sins of the world? Our self-righteousness, self-made religion, temporary things. Where your focus is on. Seeking heavenly things is seeking eternal things, right? Sometimes we Christians, we know that we are eternal. We need to seek eternal things, but we seek earthly things. We know that sometimes the people who come to church to get good job, to get good salary, they leave church. To go there, they go wherever they want to go to earn good money so that they can get money, they can become rich. But they are leaving good church. They don't care about good churches. Even they don't care about going to the church on Sundays. So those kind of people are seeking earthly things. They are not seeking eternal things. They are not caring about their souls. Some people, they are playing with the sins. Some people, they want to gain their salvation by their works. So these all things are seeking earthly things. We need to focus on Christ for our sanctification. We need to focus on Christ for our salvation. We need to love Him. We need to love Him. The second thing, we move on. We move on to second thing that we must know to pursue heavenly things is the reason or the motivation to pursue heavenly things. The reason or motivation to pursue heavenly things. He said compulsion to pursue heavenly things. It is important. Every Christian has to do that. The second thing is the reason, motivation to pursue heavenly things. Look at verse 3. It says, for. Look at the word for. This refers to cause, a reason to seek, to set their mind on the heavenly things. Three reasons to pursue heavenly things. Three reasons. First reason to pursue heavenly things is we have died with Christ. We have died with Christ. It is past action of our zealous and past action of God. Past action of Christ. Look at verse 3. For you have died. Look at Colossians chapter 2 verse 11. It says, in Him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We heard this sermon many weeks back. It is talking about the circumcision here refers to death. The Christians also died with Christ. Look at chapter 2 verse 20 says, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world. The idea is in Greek, our association with Christ in His death. When Christians died with Him, when Christ died, all Christians died with Him, in Him. That is the idea. We are no longer under judgment of God because we paid our debt, which we have to give to God in Christ's death. Christ paid our debt, our sinful debt. He sacrificed on the cross. He died on the cross. We were died with Him. We have died with Him. Why did Paul say this to Colossians? You died. You have died with Christ. Why Paul is saying? Paul said this because he wanted to remind them of fact. Whatever salvation they have was because of their union with Christ's death. Not because of elementary principles. Not because of angels. Not because of self-made religions. Not because of their self-righteous works. It is because of Christ. You have died with Him. Brothers, that's the reason they need to seek and set their mind on the things above, not things on the earth. You need to be thankful to Christ because He associated with you in death to save you. We should not forget this basic truth in our life. The second reason to pursue heavenly things is we are hidden with Christ. Not only we have died with Christ, we are hidden with Christ. This is talking about past and present reality. Verse 3. For you have died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. The verb hidden literally means is to keep from being seen. To keep from being seen. Hidden. Here idea is the perfect tense the Paul is using here. It is used to be emphasized the completed action and present process. The idea is Christian's life is hidden with Christ. This refers to the past action of Christ. But at the same time it refers to present state. Paul says that even though the life of a believer is hidden in fast, but still it is hidden. Our life is hidden with Christ. The idea is, in Greek, our life is hidden in association with Christ. With Christ. The idea is, Christ is hidden, our life is hidden. how Christ is being unseen, in the same way believers' life is unseen. Christ is not seen completely. We are not able to see him. In the same way, we are also not seen completely. The world and ourselves do not understand about our life, who we are really. We know who we are in some sense because of the word of God, but no, we don't understand fully about our life. We are hidden in Christ. One man of God said that the world knows neither Christ nor Christians. Then he said, interesting statement, the Christians do not even fully know themselves. You don't know who you are in Christ. There is a great privilege in Jesus Christ. God blessed you with heavenly blessings. You cannot understand who you are. You cannot understand your life. Your life is hidden with Christ. That's what Paul is saying. But another fact is, we are hidden with Christ, where? In the heaven. In the heaven where he is. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, it says, raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Some says that our life is secured with Christ in God. They bring that idea. What they are saying is right, but the grammar of text says that we are hidden with the association of Christ in God. If we interpret this phrase like this, we are secured, which means we need to translate, even Jesus also secured in God. No, it is not talking about security. It is talking about hiddenness. People cannot understand who we are. People cannot understand who Christ is. That is the idea. Here, idea is believers' life cannot be understood. How their life will be in future by anyone else. But it has to be revealed. It has to be revealed. That's why, you know, John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 says, he says like this, listen carefully. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. What we will be. We cannot understand a total privilege, the blessings we have in Christ. That's what Paul is saying. That is what Paul speaks about, verse 4, who we are, which leads to our third reason why we must pursue heavenly things. The third reason to pursue heavenly things is we will be revealed with Christ. We will be manifested with Christ. We will be appeared with Christ. That is the idea. Look at verse 4. The Christ who is our life is revealed. Then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Before you are not revealed completely, you will be revealed completely when Christ comes. As I said, the meaning of the verb revealed is to appear, become visible, and become known. The great truth is this. All will appear, become visible, and become known, those who are hidden with Christ in God. Christ will expose all his people who trusted in him publicly with him. That is the idea. Then he talks about two questions we can ask. When? When we will be revealed? In his second coming. In his second coming. Look at when Christ, who is our life, is revealed. Then you also will be revealed with him. So look at this phrase. This was very interesting statement. Even it is truth. True it is. Who is our life? Who is our life? Christ is our life. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life, right? He is our eternal life. When he comes back, or in his second coming, we will be revealed with him, which means you will be not revealed completely before his second coming. Before second coming. Peter O'Brien said about this, the day of the revelation of Son of God will be the day of the revelation of the sons of God. When Son of God is revealed himself, sons of God, children of God will be revealed completely. until you cannot understand fully about yourself. You know basic truth. You are saved. You are going to heaven. You know so many facts about Bible. But you cannot understand who you are really until Jesus comes. Until Jesus comes. That's why, you know, we need to seek our things. The seeing, waiting for second coming of Christ is also seeking heavenly things. We need to wait for him. When he comes, we will be revealed. Note this point, brothers, sisters. Seeking the things above is seeking his second coming. Even Bible says people are mocking his second coming, right? Unbelievers say that. These Christians will say always, Christ will come, Christ will come, when he will come. These Christians are singing songs and they are proclaiming Christ, he will come back, when he will come. He is not coming, they are saying lies. But we know the fact, Christ will come. Do you believe that? He will come again to take you with him. That's what Paul is saying here. This is fact. Even though mockers are mocking against this truth, but Christ will come again. He is faithful husband. He is faithful Savior. He will come back. When he come back, he will be revealed to everybody else. And he will reveal all of his people to everybody, to the world. That is the meaning. Paul is saying. When he comes. We know that why Jesus is waiting. Why he is not coming, right? We know that. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you. Not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Why Christ is not coming? Why he is not very fast to come, to reveal himself, to reveal his bride? Because some of you are not saved. Some of you are playing with sin. Some of you are repented. Some of you do not understand who Christ is. To save you, he is waiting. To save your life, he is waiting so that he can bring you back with him to reveal you in that glory second time. So the first question is when we will be appeared, that is in his second coming. How we will be appeared, that is great, the truth. I am not able to explain how this great fact, maybe Pastor Sammy will explain better than me, but there is a great fact in this, brothers and sisters, how we will appear in glory. Look at verse 4. You will be revealed with him in glory. In glory. The future manifestation in glory is nothing but sharing Christ-likeness and receiving the glorious body. Receiving the glorious body. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 says, Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. Just as he is. The same thing Paul wrote to Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity of the body of his with the body of his glory. Even Paul talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 42 and 43. You can read those things. We will be revealed in glory. We need to understand one thing here, brothers and sisters. Our hope is not only for coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but for the full revelation of who we are. Who we are. That is the fact. Paul writes, the motivation, the reason why Colossians should seek, think about heavenly things. Because they are seeking after, not they, the false teachers, they are motivating them to seek after other things, elementary principles and sins. But they have to think about heaven, because they have risen with him, because they are hidden with him in God, because they will be like Christ. And they will receive glorious body. Glorious body. So many people cry about their leg pains and headache and BP and sugar and diabetes. Everything. Crying, right? Even though we are praying, God is not healing. But I am prosperity gospel preacher now. Christ can heal you when he comes. When he comes. When he changes his body, your body into glorious body. Christ is a healer when he comes. In his time he does. But no, we seek immediate actions. Christ, heal me immediately. Lord, give me peace. No, he can give peace. In the sense, eternal peace. But he cannot give peace with like sickness and other problems and troubles. So many sickness. Doctors are becoming rich people in this country, in the world. Because so many people are going to hospital because of sickness. The Christ is going to heal when he gives the glorious body to us. So that is one of the fact, one of the truth, aspect of our glory. Christ is going to do that. So we have understood the way to perceive heavenly things. The compulsion of perceiving heavenly things. Then we have seen motivation to perceive heavenly things. But I want to ask like this. Am I perceiving the things above? Things above is an important question that every believer should ask. People are boast about their association with great people, right? Yeah, I went to meet that great person, rich person. He invited me. He gave his fellowship. We all together ate food. He gave his association, his fellowship. Then people boast about that. Are no one is invited. I was invited. So, I'm a great person, right? Because I'm associated with that person, great person, whoever it is. Let me tell you a practical example in my life so that you can understand what a great privilege we have in Christ. When I was invited to CCC, Cornerstone Community Church, for internship, after 1 year, I was ordained as associate pastor to serve in the church as elder. I felt very happy that I am associated with Pastor Sammy, who is my professor. My fellow PTS students, graduates, they said that you have privilege, yeah. You are working with Pastor Sammy. You can learn more things. Yeah, true, I can learn more things. Then my wife feel very happy. She felt very happy I am associated with him in the church. Let me ask you one thing, brothers and sisters. I am so happy because of my association with Pastor Sammy in ministry in the church. How much joy must overflow from my heart if I am associated with Christ's glory when he comes? Which one is best one? I need to tell everyone who feel very happy if I am associated with Pastor Sammy, but associate with Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is great thing. Amen. Great thing. But you have that privilege. You have that privilege. He will bring you with him in glory when he comes. People humiliate you. People disrespect you because of your faith in Christ. One day he is going to reveal to everybody with him in glory. What a privilege you have, brothers and sisters. What a privilege you have. You got point, right? If you understand your privilege in Christ, why you are not seeking heavenly things? Why you are playing with your sins? Why you are fighting with your brothers and sisters? Why you are living in your sin? Why you are seeking yourself? Seek Christ. If you understand who he is. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this time. Lord, what a great privilege that you have given to us. Not because of your great and holy people, but you loved us. You gave us privilege because of your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for all your saving grace. What a great heavenly blessings that you have given to us in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sake and coming back again to take us home to live with you forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, once again. From our bottom of heart, help us, Lord, to seek heavenly things. Lord, motivate us to live holy life, to love you, Lord, because of this truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.